This is the very first car ever made, the Benz Patent Motorwagen from 1896. This is Genesis.
And it's absolutely nothing like the cars we know today. For a start, it has this tiller steering arrangement, which is exactly the sort of thing you'd find on a canal boat. And it also only has a single front wheel, so presumably if you're a bit too vigorous with this, the whole thing could topple over.
Performance? Not great. It has a one-cylinder, one-litre engine, which gives a top speed of 9. And with a 1.5-litre fuel tank, its range is only 5 miles. Tricky when the petrol station hadn't been invented, but it did show the world that personal, motorised transportation was possible.
3 years later, the British came up with this, the Royal Enfield.
That's not the brake! No!
Its controls were hideously complicated, but there were some good points.
This had twice the power of the Benz, 2 horsepower. But most important of all, it had 4 wheels. So what they'd accidentally designed here is the quad bike.
One of the biggest problems with these early cars is getting them going in the first place. The starter motor hasn't been invented yet. There's no ignition key. You have to use the starting handle.
And the great thing about this particular car, the Didion Bouton, is that when you turn the handle, it will break your wrist.
You what?
7 members of staff at the Motor Museum have had their wrists broken by this very car.
Well, we don't actually need to drive it. We can just stand around and talk about it a bit.
No. This is one of the very first cars that sold in great numbers. We have to know what it was like. You're going to have to get it going. Having got it started, we needed to get it moving, and for that, we had a copy of the original handbook, which had been translated from French, because the car was made in France, into English. Literally.
For making the carriage walking at the first speed, take back the drag of the wheel backward crowbar of the right, and take completely and progressively back the crowbar of embrayage to you while you keep the direction with your... Hurl the mover till his starting.
I can understand why this is better than going around looking at a horse's bottom. But how did anyone ever figure out how it worked?
If we've established that that's the gear lever,
yep.
That's the advanced thing, the ignition,
yep.
That's something important. This was designed for someone with 3 arms and 1 leg.
It was.
So if you need to do a hill start, you have to steer it with your chest.
Or your face. It would be difficult. How do I get it into top gear?
For taking the second speed, push rapidly at the crowbar forward without brutality. When it is raised up again, it gains all its strength.
Yes!
Yeah! Good. Top gear!
Now, how do I stop?
What?
Well, I'm going to have to stop eventually. This road won't go on forever.
Hurl the movement. No.
Seriously.
I don't know, James. I don't know.
You're in charge of the instructions.
They're in gibberish. There's no point relying on this. I brought them as a joke for the viewer.
Oh, God, there's a...
For making the carriage completely stopped, when it goes at 15 kilometres an hour, take abruptly the crowbar of embrayage.
Right.
No, wait, we haven't finished.
No, well, you haven't got very long. Come on.
When you are in first speed, we aren't, are we? James, we're going to be killed!
I decided to use ingenuity.
I'm using friction!
I've got... What? That's neutral. I've got neutral.
It's my wind resistance. Stop it!
I don't know how to do it.
Make it stop!
I don't... Right.
Oh!
So, France hadn't got it right, and nor had America. This is the Stevens Derailleur, which has 8 clutches. And what kind of dullard would think that that was brilliant?
That's brilliant.
What's brilliant?
This gearbox. Look, this is a 3-speed constant mesh. So those are constant mesh gears,
yep.
And it has selector forks,
yep.
But it doesn't have dog clutches.
No.
So that's like the brake band on an automatic gearbox, in fact.
And in a modern gearbox, one would always be loose on its shaft, either the input shaft or the lay shaft. That's 1903, and that is basically what...
You might imagine that the first car to get everything in the right order was the first car ever to be mass-produced, the Model T Ford. By the time it went out of production in 1927, half the cars in the world were Model Ts. So you'd imagine that all the cars that came along afterwards would be laid out in the same way. Luckily, they weren't.
Honestly, I'm glad this didn't catch on, because driving a Model T is more complicated than doing eye surgery. It's almost as though Henry Ford was being, I don't know, deliberately obtuse, because to make it move, you have to up the revs with the accelerator, which is here on the steering wheel, there. Then you move the handbrake to the middle, which somehow puts the car in neutral, and then depress the left pedal. Yeah! The only problem is, to maintain this speed, I have to keep my foot pressed hard down on what feels like a very, very heavy clutch pedal. And the pain in my thigh is excruciating. The only way around this is to change into top gear. Now, to do that, we have to go faster, push this lever, the handbrake, that isn't a handbrake, all the way down. Then I can take my foot off that pedal.
Now the speed shoots up, whether you like it or not, to about 40. And 40 on wooden wheels in a world with hardly any roads is terrifying.
Jeremy and I were beginning to believe we'd never find the first car with what we'd now call conventional controls. But then we stumbled on this. The Cadillac Type 53 from 1916.
Look! A handbrake and a gear lever in the middle of the car and three pedals in the right order.
And better still, no starting handle, no broken rests. This was the first car to come with one of these.
This may look as old-fashioned as all the other nonsense from the early days of motoring, but what we have here is the nub, the first properly modern car.
The thing is that nobody knew when this came along that they had actually hit on what would become the template for all cars in the future.
Exactly. This bright idea could easily have been snuffed out by the next bright idea.
No, but what made this bright idea stick was that a British chap called Herbert Austin, who I'm sure you know, came along, copied all the ideas and put them on his car for the people, which was, of course...
The Seven.
The Seven, exactly.
This car cost just £125, four times less than the Cadillac. What's more, it was built under license by BMW in Germany and copied too by Datsun in Japan. This car, then, the little Austin 7, took Cadillac's bright idea, showed it to the world, and made it stick.